Next topic is going to be about texting and emailing on Chol HaMoed, and of course the more general topic of writing on Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah says in Moed Katan, of course talks about the halachas of Chol HaMoed, that's why it's called Moed Katan. So the Mishnah Yud Ches Beis tells us the Eilu Kosim B'Moed. The following are examples of things that can be written, which of course implies there are certain things that cannot be written. So the Mishnah goes through a number of examples: Kedushei Nashim, Gittin, Shovrim, a whole Prusbol, Matana. All these various things are allowed to be written on a Chol HaMoed. And the question is why? What's the reason that one's allowed to violate an Isser of Ksiva? We learned last week that there's an Isser of Malacha on a Chol HaMoed. Machlokes, whether it's Deraisa or Derabanan, and certain things are permitted, certain things are not permitted. So why is Ksiva permitted, or these examples of Ksiva, permitted on a Chol HaMoed? So Tosas writes in number 2, Nira dechol hani havi davar ha'avid. All the examples listed are things that are going to cause a loss. Penyam musanosim, the guy wants to give a gift. So there's a concern that if he doesn't write it now in a document, so if he dies, so no one after him is going to ensure that the gift gets to the party, so he wants to write it down to ensure that the matana gets to the right place. So all these various cases, Kedushei Nashim, he wants to marry her, and Gittin, he wants to have her divorced before he dies. All these things is somehow a davar ha'avid, without going through each of the details. It's some loss. So when there's a davar ha'avid, ksiva is permitted on Chol HaMoed. The Rambam argues, Rambam writes in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Zayin, he goes through all the examples, and he finishes off the underlying theme, the common denominator between all these heterim is kitzarche rabim heim. They're somehow needed for the rabim. Now you have to explain this a little bit more. How is Kedushei Nashim for the purpose of Rabbim? What, to populate the world? How is Gittin permitted? How is that Tzarchei Rabbim? So each of these cases, you have to figure out how they work out Tzarchei Rabbim, but his general rule is that when it's Ksiva for Tzarchei Rabbim, there's some broader need, it's permitted to do Ksiva. So is it because Davar HaAvid, or is it because it's Tzarchei Rabbim? That's the machlokas between Tosos and the Rambam. The Ravid agrees to Tosos, is also about Davar HaAvid, he argues on the Rambam. So what's the difference? Who cares why? We said last week that there are a number of things that are permitted on Yom Tov. You could do Malacha for Davar HaAvid, you could do Malacha for Tzarchei Rabbim, you could do Malacha if it's Tzarchei HaMoed. So who cares whether it's because of Tzarchei Rabbim or whether it's because of Davar HaAvid? So the Magen Avraham tells us that there's a Nafka Mina. There's a Nafka Mina as to what the reason of the Heter is to how the Ksiva can be done. We have two types of general Ksivas. We'll get to more examples in a little bit, but there's Ksiva Maisa Uman and there's Maisa Hedyot. There's a professional way of writing, calligraphy, safris. Safris, those who've done safris, it's pretty much, you're making pictures. Each letter is a picture. You have the outline, and then you fill it in. Each letter is so carefully, how long does it take to write one letter? I don't know, Al. A few minutes to write a letter. You can write several sentences in a few minutes. Each letter is a few minutes. So that's a Maisa Uman. And a Maisa Hedyot is something like regular writing, some script, or even non-script, print writing like that. That's the Maisa Hedyot. That's a regular way of writing. So the Nafka Mina is, says the Magen Avraham, without getting involved in the sugi and what's behind it, but if the reason is Tzarchei Rabbim, it's for the need of the community, then you're only allowed to write with a Maisa Hedyot. You can't write calligraphy. You can't write with safris. It has to be only Maisa Hedyot. A little handwriting would be permitted. But if the reason is because of Davar HaAvid, says the Magen Avraham, Davar HaAvid is more urgent. There's a greater need. If someone's going to lose money, Hefsin Mamon is a very, very important thing. Tzarchei Rabbim is also important. But Hefsin Mamon, we're very, very, very sensitive to people losing money. Those who've learned Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, whenever there are two deyas, so then we say Hefsin Mamon, many times Ramah right, because it's a Hefsin Mamon, you could be Mekil. But only if they're two deyas. Some people I've heard before, whenever there's Hefsin Mamon, they permit everything. That's not true. It has to be someone to rely on. But we see Hefsin Mamon, once there are two opinions to rely on, so then oftentimes the Ramah will write, because it's a loss of money, you could rely on the more lenient Shita. So says the Magen Avraham, when it's a Davar HaAvid, it's a loss of money, you could even write the Maisa Uman. You could, if a person, let's say, a sofer, let's say, for example, was given a deadline, if you finish the day after Yom Tov, I'm going to give you an extra $30,000, let's say, for writing the Sefer Torah. And if he doesn't get it done, he's losing that money. I don't want to define Davar HaAvid right now. That might not be a great example, but just assume that's Davar HaAvid. He's losing potentially $30,000, so he would have a heter to write safris on Chol HaMoed, so he makes that extra money. So things like that. That's where Davar HaAvid would be. You could do a Maisa Uman even. So how do we paskin? So if you look at Shulchan Aruch now, Shulchan Aruch writes in number 6, Aser lichto b'chol hamoed. You're not allowed to write on chol hamoed. Afilu lahagya os achas b'sefer aser. Even to fix one letter in a sefer Torah is forbidden. Uletzarech rabim, if there's a need for the rabim, yesh osim kol she'enu letzarech hamoed v'yesh matirim. So what the Shulchan Aruch is referencing, we had that machlokas before, if it's davar avid or if it's for tzarech rabim. So if it's for tzarech rabim, if the rabim need a sefer Torah, so then there's a machlokas whether you're allowed to write a sefer Torah on chol hamoed. So what's how do we paskin? The Rabbah writes, Nogu lahakil b'ksav shalanu she'enu ma'is uman. So it seems like the Ramah is going back on ksiva in general. It's a little bit hard to understand what the Ramah is saying here. The minog is to be makel with our writing, which means regular handwriting. We could be makel since it's not a ma'isa uman. Okay, so that means right now he's talking about any case. Any case of ksiva is permitted since it's not a ma'isa uman. And says the Mishnah Brura though, but a person should do some type of shinui. Af bazeh ksav hanagu lahachmir lishanos. So we're going to get to examples in just a second, writing letters to each other. But what comes out right now is, it seems that since our ksav is a ksav maisa hediot, it's a regular handwriting, you're allowed to be makel and write anything, it seems. But it's advised to be machmir to write some type of shinui. We'll get to examples of a shinui. Ksav b'shinui is permitted. And at the end we'll get to text messaging and emailing and computers. Might not be considered maisa hediot, that's a little bit more professional looking. Maybe it's ma'is uman, maybe it's not. But right now we're talking about handwriting. So we'll get there.
So sefer Torah, you can repair or you can't?
Sefer Torah, if it's for tzarech rabim, let's say you really need it, and there's nothing else, it's tzarech rabim. Right, so it's a machlokes if it's tzarech rabim. So sefer Torah is always tzarech rabim, but let's say you don't need it until afterwards. So then it's a machlokes whether you can write it or not. If it's the only sefer Torah you have, it's tzarech rabim plus tzarech hamoed, then you would be allowed to, according to exactly. Other Torahs. It's an interesting concern, but since we're being mechabed chol hamoed at the same time, so then that balances it out. Okay, so let's get to an example. A typical text message.
It's because you need it for the hamoed or because you need it for tzarech rabim?
The combination. Tzarech rabim could be that the rabim need it for after chol hamoed. If I get it done now, they'll have it right afterwards as opposed to waiting a week. That's tzarech rabim, but that's not tzarech hamoed. So that's a machlokas. It's machlokas. But if it's tzarech rabim plus tzarech hamoed, then you would be allowed to fix the sefer Torah. Yeah. So let's talk about writing letters. So typically a text message, we're not talking about work right now, email, a text message, how are you, some greetings. Is that permitted on, you know, Good Yontif? You don't want to call up your parents or your siblings or a friend, you want to just text them Good Yontif. Is that going to be allowed on chol hamoed? So call them up. Okay, that's the best way. You're saying in general, in general. Okay, in general. So the Mishnah says further, I read this at the end, but the Mishnah number 8, I'm re-quoting the Mishnah, the last example given that you can write on Chol HaMoed is what's called Igros Shel, and that next word is Machlokas, how to pronounce it. It's either Shel Rishus or Shel Rashus. Rishus we know means voluntary. Rashus, what does Rashus mean?
Evil,
government, right? Not rishus. No, that's with an I, and that's rishus. Shall rishus you should never write, but rashus of a government, that's not rashus. So what does this mean? What's igros shall rishus or shall rashus? So Rashi defines tzivui v'kim shall shalton. You're writing out the commands, the decrees that the mayor, the governor, the king had wanted to enforce. He wanted to send out rules. So you're allowed to write that. That's tzarech rabim. It's important that when the governor says something, that people have to know what's going on and have to listen to it. So there's a heter of ksiva shel rashus. To write such documents has no really effect on us. Maybe if you're working in a courtroom or as a lawyer, for a politician, maybe that would be under this heter. But nothing for us in the general day that we run during Chol HaMoed. But the Rush writes from the Yushalmi. You know what it means? It's not Igros shel rashus. It's igros shel rishus, voluntary. What does that mean, a voluntary letter? Says the Rush, number 10, Sheila shalom, a greeting. You send a greeting card to someone. You take a birthday card to someone. So why is it permitted? Why is it called rishus, rather? Lefi shein ben tzorach kokach. There's not a need to wish someone good yontif. It's a wonderful thing, a nice thing to do, but it's not a tzorach, it's not a chiv. to rishus. You want to say hello to someone, wish someone a happy birthday, you want to greet, that's a rishus. That's an option a person has. That is permitted according to the Rush's understanding. You can write egos shel rishus on Chol HaMoed. So we haven't gone to computers and texting, but assuming texting would be permitted, you could send a text message to Gedyontif. How are you? How's your day going? A good moed. So that's the opinion of the Rush. Why would that be permitted? It doesn't make any sense. Why could you? We just saw before the Mishnah says you could write a get, you could write kedushin, you could write things that are needed.
Yeah.
That's tzarech hamoed, tzarech harabim, tzarech. What else we said? Davar ha'avid. Why is sending a greetings card considered a heter writing on Chol HaMoed? So the Ritva writes, he gives two answers. Ritva writes, Shelas Shalom is permitted, number 11, because Litzarach in Yana Yomtev. That's part of Tzarach HaMoed. Interesting, that's Tzarach HaMoed. Why is sending a greetings card considered Tzarach HaMoed? It's a nice thing, right? A nice thing. Shalom bias to family, to friends. It's a Shalom bias. It's Tzarach HaMoed. It makes your Yomtev better. It makes their Yomtev better. Then he writes further.
Who's this again?
This is the Ritva. Then he writes a little bit similar to the first answer, Mipnei Simchas HaRegel Shelo Yehei Bedaga. It's more of a negative way. We don't want you to be worried. What happens? You send out a letter. You send the letter out, and then you get very, very nervous that, did they receive the other end? Did they get the invitation? Tonight, my daughter's Bas Mitzvah. We're celebrating the Bas Mitzvah tonight. So we sent out a bunch of invitations, and this was not intentional, but my in-laws didn't get an invitation. So, nothing to do with it. My father-in-law's in the back. This was not intentional at all, and they didn't get an invitation. So, of course, we invited them. So, but what happens when you send in bulk? So, you don't know what goes, what comes back. And then just on Friday, we got a few cards that came back that never got to the recipient. So, you get very, very nervous about these things. So, you send out a card, and if you don't send it in Chol HaMoed, you're going to be very nervous that it doesn't get to the right place at the right time. You want to send it out as soon as possible. So for that reason, because of that dogma, because of that worrying that you have, you're allowed to write it on Chol HaMoed to send it off as soon as possible. That's what the Ritva says. So it's both about Tzarech Yom Tov. One's about you're creating Simchas Yom Tov by sending a greeting, and one is to avoid your dogma, your worry that you're going to be losing out on Simchas Yom Tov.
No, it's just going to say it's almost Dava Avid, that you, if you understand that it takes 2 weeks to this and come back, you have to do it, otherwise I might miss it. Might not go.
So that's what the Ravid says. The Ravid says exactly what you're saying is Davar Avid. You might have a chance now. They didn't have a whole postal system that we have today. So there's one guy going over to Teaneck today.
There's worked.
So there's some guy going over to Teaneck. Happens to be he's right next to you in Woodmere and Chol HaMoed. And your parents live in Teaneck. So you want to send them a greetings card. But he may not be here tomorrow or the next day. So that's the Davar Avid. You're missing out on an opportunity to send it over. So it says the Ravid, that's the reason why you could write the letter today, because now you have an opportunity, and it could be a missed opportunity. That would be Davar Avid. Now the Rambam writes completely differently than all these reasons. The Rambam writes in number 12. You know why you could write letters Sheila Shalom? Because a person's not so careful how to write it. It's a Maisa Hedya. Look at the Rambam, number 12. Mutter lichtov igros shel sheila shalom b'moed. You're allowed to write letters of greetings on Chol HaMoed. Ein adam nizhar b'tikunan ma'od b'nimsu k'maisa hedyo b'melachos. The guy doesn't really care how it's written, how straight the lines are, and how the letters look. As long as it's somewhat legible, he's okay with that. And since that's by definition a maisa hedyo, it's a very regular, plain way of writing, it's permitted k'siva in general. So there are four different reasons that are brought down in the Rishonim, and there are a number of nafkaminas.
How is that different than what the Magen Avraham said, Maisa Hedyo? Exact same thing, that you don't really care so much how it looks.
In Echanami, what the Magen Avraham was saying was, if you assume that the reason is because of Tzarech Rabim, you're only allowed to do it in Maisa Hedyo. You can't do it in Maisa Uman. You can't. So the Rambam says that, in general, forget any reasons of Tzarech Moed or Tzarech Rabim. By definition, handwriting is a Maisa Hedyo. And you could write it for anything. Now, I like to do crossword. I used to like doing crossword puzzles. I don't have much time anymore. I don't get the paper either. When I go to my in-law's house on Chol HaMoed, there's usually a New York Times. So if it's a Monday or Tuesday where I could get some of the answers, so then I'll do it on Chol HaMoed. Already about Tuesday, it gets a little harder these days. I'm not really reading up on things I should be reading up on. Wednesday and beyond, forget about it. But according to this Rambam, you'd be allowed to do crossword puzzles because for a number of reasons, actually. But one is, because it's I don't care how it looks, it's a Maisa Hedyo, Balma, that's all it is. Another reason why you might be able to is because like the boxes are separate, so maybe it's not really considered a real word. We'll see that heter later on. But either way, there are a number of different reasons why Ksiva is permitted for igros shel rishus, to write a greetings card. Let's just review again why that would be permitted. The Ritva says you could write a greetings card on Chol HaMoed because it creates shalom bayis, it creates tzarech yom tif. The Rambam writes because writing in general, handwriting, is considered a ma'aseh hedyo. And the Ravid says because davar aved, you might miss an opportunity of a guy going to where you exactly where you need to send the letter to, so send it now and write it now because you have the opportunity. So how to be paskin when it comes to igros sheila shalom? So the Shulchan Aruch writes a person's allowed to write them on Chol HaMoed, but some say it's aser, right? Depends how you define that word in the Mishnah. Is it igros shel rashus or is it igros shel rishus? If you define it as igros shel rishus, then you could write letters all the time on Chol HaMoed. If you define it as igros shel rashus, like Rashi says, then only for the purpose of governments could you write letters, but a regular greetings card would be aser. So these are the 2 days that appear in Shulchan Aruch. And says the Ramah, at the end of number 13, V'nogu l'hachmir, our custom, says the Ramah, is to be machmir, not to write letters. Afilu b'ksiva shelanu shiksiva mishita. Ksiva mishita is the regular handwriting. So even our ksav, says the Ramah, we should be machmir. That means you can't write letters, according to the Ramah. Ashkenazim cannot write regular letters. Now, there is a girsa which doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch here. We'll see in the poskim. Some say it should be read as follows. Pay attention here. V'nogu l'hachmir l'shanos, says some poskim. L'hachmir l'shanos afilu b'ksiva shalanu shiksiva mishita. There's a machmir to do a shinoi when you write it. Of course you're allowed to write igros shel rishus. But just when you do it, to do it with a shinoi. So there's 2 ways to read the Ramah. Depends on the girsa. Some say you shouldn't write at all. And some say when you write it, do it b'shinoi. Those are 2 days how to read the Ramah. So the Taz writes, the number 14 at the end, he goes through the whole sugya that we just went through. Is it igros shel rashus? Is it igros shel rishus? What's the reason? So you look at the last few lines here in bold. He writes, Nira le'anias daiti, dekeven dekai melon mlacha chol ha'moed eino ela derabanan, like we saw last week. That mlacha and chol ha'moed is only derabanan according to many, many rishonim. Some hold it's deraisa, most hold it's derabanan. So that's one reason to be mekel. Number 2 is mitzuraf lezeh shiksivas mishita. Writing in handwriting, shalanu, our handwriting, eino maisa uman, klau. It's not professional by any means. So therefore, since it's a derabanan melacha, and handwriting is a maisa hedyot, shapir yesh lismoch al beis Yosef, bifrat. You could rely on the beis Yosef who allows you to write in general on yontif. And shehayit al zeh shekei nagu. That's what the beis Yosef says. The custom was to be mekel in writing. Handwriting was mekel. That was the custom in the times of the Beis Yosef. So there's so many reasons to be mekel, and those who want to be machmir for yourselves. And those who want to be mekel, they have who to rely on. And there's no reason to really be machmir at all. Says the Taz, one could write in handwriting, on anything, for igos shoshus, for crossword puzzles, whatever you want, you're allowed to write. That's how the Taz is shita. Prima Gadim writes, though, he adds one caveat here. He adds that tzarech lomar, Duchoshiv tzarech hamoed ktsas. Has to be a little bit of a need. You can't just write for no reason. Just writing poems and letters and essays just for no reason. He thinks there should be some tzarech moed a little bit. So what's the tzarech moed for my crossword puzzles? I get hana, it's enjoyment.
You don't get to do it during the year.
I don't get an opportunity. I don't get the New York Times to my house delivered. This is an opportunity. I enjoy it, doing it a little bit. So that's a little bit of tzarech moed here, hana. You could go on Chol HaMoed trips. We spoke about that last year in Pesach. Chol HaMoed trips are very, very encouraged and wonderful things to do and to spend your time. So doing a crossword puzzle, you'll have to do ksiva, and somewhat of a tzarech moed, it would seem to be okay as well.
I don't know if you could answer this now, but on Shabbos when we're talking about writing or not writing, it never even enters the discussion about whether it's professional or not. Now we're talking about professional or not because Shabbos is deraisa and this is...
Yeah, Shabbos is much more severe.
No, but I'm saying it's only because we're assuming for this discussion that it's derabanan, so whether it's professional
or not. Yeah, Chol HaMoed, exactly. Chol HaMoed is derabanan, and there's many things that are permitted on Chol HaMoed. They're obviously not permitted on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham writes now...
So I'm saying this discussion is based still from last week on the fact that we're not even considering deraisa for a second. This is all...
Even if it's deraisa, these things will hold as well. Even if it's Chol HaMoed's deraisa, still these heterim of ksiva apply as well. So the Magen Avraham had a girsa in the Ramah that I mentioned before that you're allowed to write anything you want as long as there's a shinur. His girsa was, Nagu l'hachmir l'shanos afilu b'ksiva shelanu. Even though our ksiva is really just handwriting, it's not professional, one should be machmir to do a shinur. But that's a chumrah to do a shinoi. So what's an example of a shinoi? How do you do a shinoi? Yeah.
One question. Marosai. Is that relevant at all? Because the person seeing you has no idea that you're making a shinoi.
No, we'll see what the shinoi is first. Let's see if it's marosai or not.
I'm saying, but it's like, oh, okay.
So you're writing with your left hand, maybe it's noticeable.
I've seen you from over there. You say,
well, that's who a shinoi is for. Let's see. Okay. So the Magen Avraham writes a shinoi, number 16. A shinoi hu shekosvin balachson. You write it on an angle. So instead of straight lines, you if you have like the lined paper, you have to write it off on as an angle. It doesn't mean when I write, I have a very strange way of writing. Those who've seen me, I write like this. I hold the paper like sideways and write like this, pretty much. That's not called writing. That's straight. It means when you have the writing, it looks like it's going off on an angle, diagonal. So that's the idea. Says the Magen Avraham, Shekosim Balachson on an angle here. V'yafa gavdolo mikri shinoi elakisha gufa osios shvurim. Really, it's only true when the letters are actually broken up. That's a real shinoi, which means, let's say you're writing a T. So you write the T as dots, as opposed to lines. You put dots in. That's when the letters are broken. That's a real shinoi. But he says, Mikol Makom Kevin Shemedina Motir. We went to the sugya. Really, Mikra Din Ksiva is completely permitted when you do handwriting. So therefore, you can rely on this very weak type of shinoi and write it off as a diagonal on the paper. And that's what the Magen Avraham suggests. Now, what he writes at the end here is some have the custom to just the top line to make it a little bit curved. So let's say you're writing a paper or some type of document. So make the top of it start off as a curve a little bit on top, and then the rest could be straight lines. But the Magen Avraham is telling us here that since Ksiva, Me'ikar Din, is really permitted, our handwriting is permitted on Yantif, on Chol HaMoed rather, therefore a very small change is sufficient to permit the writing on Chol HaMoed. Okay, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah Paskins like as well, that again, one can be Mekel if he does some Shita, some Shinoi, but again, that Shinoi is a Chumra Ba'alma. Now, with the Aruch HaShulchan writes very interestingly, the Aruch HaShulchan number 18, he goes through the different reasons that we mentioned before why Ksiva might be permitted on Chol HaMoed. So he wanted to know before, why was Tzorech Moed, why is it a heter to do Ksiva? The Ritva explained, why can I send greeting cards to you? Because it's Tzorech HaMoed. And he explained, like what you said, that Yisanek Bayamtif, when I get a card from you, I feel very happy. A guy who's thinking of me and makes him give me Oneg Yamtif, Oneg Chol HaMoed. And by you knowing that it gave me Oneg, it gives you also some Hana as well. So that's why sending greeting cards and sending text messages, it has some value in Tzorech Yamtiv. It makes a person feel good and feel remembered and liked. But he points out, this is not Nogeh for us, if the letter wouldn't get to the person, the recipient, on Chol HaMoed, then it wouldn't be allowed. The whole reason for Tzorech Yamtiv is that there's certain Oneg Yamtiv created, so if I write it on Monday, it has to get to him within Chol HaMoed, then that would be permitted. So if you're writing a letter, so then you have to make sure that it gets to the place within Chol HaMoed. But if it's going to get after Yantiv is all over, and there's no longer Chol HaMoed, that wouldn't be fulfilling that obligation, that tzorech of Yantiv that you're looking for.
Now you could debate that. You could say that as long as it gets to them by so-and-so date, they'll know that I'm sending it for the holiday.
Yeah, but when, no. Later. That's not tzorech HaMoed, though. That's not tzorech HaMoed. It doesn't give you tzorech HaMoed on Moed itself. Okay. Then he writes...
What he's saying is that it gives you Hana that you sent it.
Yeah, because they're going to kill you if they get it, if they don't get it.
Well, no, what the Aruch HaShulchan says is that the
has to get there.
The Makabal needs to receive it, because you don't get the Hana until you know he gets it. You feel relieved, but you're still worried. Is he going to get it? Is he going to get my invitation? I don't know. Once he sends the thank you card...
No, but if it's the case the rabbi gave before, that the guy is in town now and it's only going to be now...
That's a different heter. That's not Tzorech HaMoed. That's a Davar HaAvid heter. Which, as the Aruch HaShulchan says as well, it's because of Davar HaAvid. Right now, the guy happens to be in Woodmere. And he's sending it to Tinek. So then, he might not be here tomorrow. So I'm a missed opportunity. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, nowadays, where we have a postal service, it's not relevant. You could send any given day, any day you want. If it's not today, you'll send it tomorrow. If not tomorrow, you send it next week after Yontif. So Davar HaAvid wouldn't be a heter for sending out letters on and writing letters on Chol HaMoed. Then what he writes very interestingly here, which we're going to get to the end a little bit about Ksiva in general, he says that what makes most sense to him is the reason why Ksiva is permitted, Ksiva ain't bazet tareach at all. We mentioned last week one of the reasons why they asered Melach on Chol HaMoed is because of Tircha. It's Tircha. So that means going into my farm and planting and cutting fruits and those things require tircha, that's aser. Ksiva doesn't require any tircha. Maisa uman, safras, you're sitting there, calligraphy, you're busy making pictures very carefully, it's going to ruin things. That involves tircha. Regular handwriting doesn't have any tircha. You sign your name like that, you write a little letter, there's no tircha involved in that. And that's really what makes most sense, according to Aruch HaShulchan, as to why ksiva is really permitted across the board. Okay, let's get that now to computers and the like.
Yeah, but when malacha is usher, malacha doesn't always have to do with tircha, does it?
No, but we said the reason why, according to many, that malacha on Chol HaMoed is usher is because of tircha.
Yeah.
And malacha on Chol HaMoed is different than the rest of the year.
Yeah.
On Shabbos is about melechas machsheves, what's modeled after the Mishkan.
Uh-huh.
Chol HaMoed is about tircha.
Uh-huh.
Yushalmi said you want to be available to be able to learn and eat and drink. We're involved with tircha and exerting effort. We're not going to be able to enjoy our Chol HaMoed. That was the reason for it.
No, I know it didn't start it yet, but it would seem to me that going to the post office and a stamp and all that is a lot more tircha than shooting off an email.
Well, now I guess that's right. Relative to what we're used to nowadays,
yeah.
Would be
that's
considered
a huge tircha,
right. It's true. Okay, I hear that. Fine. Let's go to computers now and text messaging and cell phones. So the Shmir Shabbos writes in number 19: Misha Ragil Lichtoves. Igrosov Michones, those who Ksiva, which is a typewriter. I got a Snapple fact. I like to read the Snapple facts and incorporate them to Shirim. So anyone know what the first typewriter that was made, anyone know what it was initially called? A literary piano. Okay, anyways. So typewriters are a bit extinct now. But the Shmir Shabbos, in his time, it wasn't. But he's speaking about a typewriter. He says, one is mutter to use a typewriter on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that's a good, springboard to discuss computers. So Shmir Shabbos, in the footnotes, he always quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said the reason why it's permitted because on a typewriter, it's not considered a ma'isa uman. You're just, plugging in. You're typing in, however you type, 10 fingers, one finger. You're typing things in. That's not called a Maisa Uman. And that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin as well. It's not a Maisa Uman. Typewriters are permitted. Now, there's an interesting tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein in Mishnah Halachos. He discusses using a typewriter on Chol HaMoed. And he first wants to distinguish how you type. Up until now, we spoke about a shinoi, how it looks. You asked about Maris Ayin before. So in terms of Maris Ayin, if the guy sees me from far away, he doesn't see that I'm writing on a diagonal. So, okay, maybe it's somewhat of a concern. But according to his suggestion, he says, if a person normally writes with 10 fingers, he should start using one finger. And there'll be no Maris Ayin issue there. We're still working on Ruby working on 10 fingers, but to my understanding, he still does like that. That's my brother-in-law who writes a Sefer a week. So he types like this. So we're getting him to get to 10 fingers. But Rav Menashe Klein suggests is that the shinoi that should be applied is use one finger. And that's considered a ma'isa hadyot, a shinoi, and one would be permitted to write that way on Chol HaMoed. That's what he initially thinks as a suggestion for shinoi on using a typewriter. Now, how does he know this? How does he know that's a good heter? All the posts can talk about the shinoi of how it looks when it's on the paper. No one talks about how you write it. So he quotes at Shumas Hadeshin. Shumas Hadeshin, one of the later, we showed him, oftentimes quoted by the Ramah. So the Shumash Hadeshin was dealing with a shaila of how to write on Chol HaMoed, and he says to hold the pen between your thumb and your finger. So most people, I told you before, my way of writing and holding is very weird. I hold it this way. So however normal people write, it's not like this though. So he suggests holding it like this between the thumb and the finger and write that way, since it will look, the action is different, even though it may not look different on paper, though it probably will. You see, at least the mice of ksiva, there's a difference. So too, bringing that over to typewriters, instead of using 10 fingers, you use one finger. That would be the shino that he suggests doing using a typewriter.
Instead of talking, type for the kids.
Instead of talking.
Talking into
oh, that's
the
how they do it these days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Every time we tell the children they need to learn how to type, that's what they tell
us.
Okay. And we're talking into the machine anyway, Abba.
Okay. Fine.
You create a bigger character though, as far as the shino.
Which one?
Anyway, writing with
anytime,
write differently.
It's a very good, point.
True,
it's a very good point. It's more tircha that way. It reminds me of the Mishnah Beta that talks about how to do sifting on Yontif, and the different ways how to bibora things. So if it's a shinoi, but sometimes that shinoi could create more tircha.
Yeah.
So that balance of, you're right, shinoi versus tircha is very something that I didn't see addressed here, but it's worthwhile to take into account, I imagine. But in the end of the day, Rav Menashe Klein concludes that he thinks typewriting is actually usur. He thinks it's a maisa uman. Why is it a maisa uman? Because it comes out so perfect. The letters are perfect the way they are in the typewriter. And same thing would be for the computer. So the big machlokas poskim is typewriting considered maisa hedyot or maisa uman? Now, most poskim paskin, it's actually considered a maisa hedyot. That's how we normally paskin. Now, what about bringing it over to computers and digital things? So number 22, the Shmir Shabbos talks about a case of ksav she'eino shakayama, a typing or writing that doesn't last. So let's say writing in the sand, or a chalkboard which is easily erased, perhaps pencils, but maybe not as much, things that are don't last for a long time. He says that's permitted, that's not considered ksiva legabe chol hamoed. And he adds further, af mutter, number 22, in the bold, af mutter lasos cheshbonos b'machshav kis. What is machshav kis, anybody know?
Calculator,
right? The little pocket computer, which is a calculator, which is now a phone. So, haksav mofiabo, it appears on the screen, and eno omed liskai, it doesn't last there. You press delete or whatever buttons they have. I don't think they have delete on it, but they have CC maybe, which is clear, I think, right? So they clear. V'cholze mutter afilu shelo tzarchamoy. That's permitted, because that's not a ksav she'eno kayama. It comes and goes. Problem is, our computers and our text messages, as we know, it saves forever. It's more kayama than paper. It lasts forever unless the whole everything crashes. So is that going to be something you could translate over to computers and text messaging as well? Let's say further. The Shmir Shabbos quotes in the footnote number 23, Hazanas machshav b'nisunim asher nishamim al hadiskt. This is also a bit, what?
Diskette.
If a diskette, now it's a disk and now it's nothing. These don't exist. Okay. Obsolete. Everything's obsolete. So saving information on a diskette or a disk, is that mutter or not? So what the Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes here is, it's usur because it's bona, because the disk or diskette is worthless. You buy a clear, empty, nothing on it, it had no value to it. By saving information, now you've bona, you built something, you create something that didn't exist before. So that's the issue of saving. So now, bring it back to our situation, is there binyan by typing or texting? So on one hand, you're not creating something that didn't exist, meaning there's no, the computer, everything in the computer had a function, was running fine. There's nothing that you're adding, there's no disk that you're adding to in the computer system, wherever they get saved, I don't know how these things
it's
work.
Not
but,
a hard drive.
But it doesn't,
it is
but
a
okay,
type
but,
of drive. Or,
but it doesn't, that
disk.
Hard, but it doesn't, it's not empty, it's not zero. You didn't create it. You added something to it.
To an existing
being
drive.
Mosif on a binyan is a different story than creating something
right.
Anew. So you didn't create anything new. The hard drive exists. So it's adding to the hard drive that already has a function, that's already been doing things. So it doesn't necessarily translate over as a binyan. I'm just bringing out some of the issues that are relevant for typing on computers. So on one hand, it's karyama in terms of ksiva, but in terms of binyan, it may not be considered binyan. So number 24, Rav Vosner is talking about the situation of typewriting.
I
so,
last
yeah.
Few words on 22. The problem is that it actually gets printed on a paper.
Yeah, so he does mention the kol shekein she'asu lahadvis b'mat tesis. You can't print things either. That's also more...
22.
22, let's see. Right.
It seems like that's the only problem.
Right, in terms of on the calculators, sometimes they print out the amount,
rolls.
The rolls, right.
Yeah.
So that'd be, it's once you print it, that's another issue as well. Because the paper... You was plain and empty, now you created something on it that he thinks would be an issue. But at the same time, on computers, it's not the issue. You're not printing anything out. But printing, though, could be another issue. That's discussing printing and taking pictures is a whole other discussion, obviously related, but not for today. So how do we paskin lemaisa? Are you allowed to type? Are you allowed to send text messages? Is it considered ksav shekayama? Is it considered maisa uman? Is it considered binyan?
Or is it all based on tircha?
So, very good. So Rav Vosner writes in Tshuva Shevet Levi. He writes regarding computers and the like. He wasn't sure what the halach is by Chol HaMoed. This is the last page now, number 5. And then he had a further suffix. We should know of this, but a suffix about typing on Shabbos. Is that considered a melacha deraisa, typing on Shabbos, texting on Shabbos? Is that an issa deraisa or not? So Rav Vosner writes that he thinks it's an Isser deraisa even on Shabbos. Because what would the reason think it's mutter? Maybe it's grumma. I press a button, and that button causes something. I don't do the actual writing. It's maybe some indirect act. That's the suggestion. And it proves from the... there's a malacha called zora. What's zora in English? Do you know what zora means in English? Not zoreya, but zora. Winnowing. What's winnowing?
Throw it up.
Throw it up? Exactly. Right, so 2 years ago. So Ruvi and I, 2 years ago, went to cut wheat for matzah. So my brother-in-law. We went down to some place in Jersey with some other people, Hasidim and Rebbes. We cut wheat in some farm in Jersey. And we had it stored. And some really interesting place in a basement, in a tunnel behind in Borough Park. And when we went there, so we went through all the process of the Sidur de Pas. So we had the wheat stored there for a few months until it dries out. You have to get rid of all the moisture. So then we got to the process of having to separate everything. So the way it works was you had a little, some type of utensil that we were, that wasn't a grinder, but it was separating the kernels. It was kind of doing dush to it. Dush is where it presses. So when you have a kernel, you have to step on the kernel and it shoots out the shell. And then you separate the two, and that's dush. So pressure creates dush. Now you have to separate all the flakes, the shells from, that's winnowing, the shaft from the kernels. So and you used to throw up in the air and then the wind would come. So in this place, in this small hole in the wall, so when it would fall down, we had this big fan blowing. And then it would come down, and the fan would shoot the shaft against the wall, like flying against. The kernels would come flying down and blowing the stuff across the way. So now that fan going, or they used to do it on the farms, the wind blowing, that's grumma. I didn't do that. The wind did that. That's not me. Yet we still see, says Rav Osner, that's certainly Mlacha Deraisa. That's the way, that was the derech, the way it was done. So therefore, if the derech to do the ksiva is by typing, texting, computers, if that's the derech, that's considered mleches machsheves and would be a violation on a deraisa level on Shabbos. Now bring it back full circle to Chol HaMoed, the very last line, he writes, last two lines, u'le'inyan Chol HaMoed, u'la yesh l'tzadeid k'tas b'ksiva kanal, kevin d'yesod mleches Chol HaMoed hu tirchas ha'mlecha. The whole idea of mlecha and Chol HaMoed is because of tircha. We don't want to be so involved in wasting our time. We want to sit down and eat and drink and learn Torah, and we don't want to have tircha, since ksiva doesn't have any tircha involved in it, at least when typing and texting, so then he thinks it would be permitted on Yantif. Now this seems to be Chol HaMoed. This seems to be the minhag of the minhag olam. Rov poskim say that one's allowed to text and email, they're not concerned with the ksav shekayama. They're not concerned with the binyan. There are those who are machmir. Those who want to be machmir certainly can rely on that. I believe a shechter is machmir not to use computers for these various reasons. But most poskim thinks it's permitted. I want to finish with one thing. We have a few minutes left before Weinberger starts. I was just trying to figure out, for us, the only mlach that really affects our Chol HaMoed is really ksiva. Because we're not going out into the farms. Ksiva and Chol HaMoed is really the only inyan that affects our way of acting and doing mlach and Chol HaMoed. And it seems that even though we saw many places that ksiva is really permitted, the poskim were trying really hard to make chumras, regabi ksiva. So I was trying to wonder why, what's unique about ksiva that they're machmir. Ksiva, if anything, there's no tircha involved. Halachically, ksiva, it's probably the least involved mlach that we have. Not the least one? One of the least?
When? Now.
Now.
No,
we're talking regular ksiva, not ma'isa umma, not calligraphy, not safris. Just regular writing. Even dipping in the ink and writing my handwriting and a signature, it doesn't involve so much tircha. So why are they trying so hard to create the iser ksiva? So I just was looking around a little bit, and I saw in the Likutei Lachos, Rabbi Nosson, regarding Hilchos Sefer Torah. This thing about when ksiva comes up in the Chumash, that tells us what the nature of ksiva is. So ksiva comes up, yesterday's parsha, because of Sefer Krisus, when it comes to a get. So you see, dafka through ksiva, can it create a get? Ksiva has a powerful koach. And the Sefer Torah, the last mitzvah of the Torah, to write a Sefer Torah, dafka through ksiva. So let's share with you this piece here, in Likutei Lachos, Hilchos Sefer Torah. He describes the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, that the Iker Torah, the idea of writing a Sefer Torah, is latzeis mi geder behema le geder adam. The idea of writing a Sefer Torah is to elevate ourselves from being animalistic to humans. And Al-Kain, he writes, Umos ha'olam shelo kibla satorah, the goyim who did not accept the Torah, einam krim adam, they're not called man. Kamo Shekosov, the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, v'atein tzoni tzon marasi adam, atem, you are adam, atem krim adam, v'umos ha'olam einam krim adam, we're man because we were makabal the Torah. And that's why he writes, Al kein tzarech lichtov ha-sefer Torah al oros behemos. Where does it come from? The skin of an animal. Kidei lahalos bechinas behemu lebechinas adam. In order to elevate the animalistic behavior to man, to Adam. The hainu, shema shaya tchila or behema. That which was initially, was an or behema. The skin of an animal is now naseh, has transformed. Atam mimenu sefer Torah shubechinas adam. Transformed into a adam. Kimoshikasav zos ha-Torah adam. A Torah is a man. Man is a Torah. So we just took a behema and we transformed it through the ma'isik siva into an adam. And that's why each person, al-kein kol adam chayv lichtov la'atmo sefer Torah. That's why each person has to write their own sefer Torah. Ki kol adam tzarech lekabelas ha-Torah. We each have to accept the Torah. Lo etchem levadchem anochi kores es ha-bris ha-zos. Not only for you am I being kores bris to accept the Torah. Ki im es ashe yeshen po. Everyone here, everyone who's not here, has to be makabel the Torah. Ki ksivas ha-or al-behema b'chinas kabelas ha-Torah. When we write a sefer Torah, when we're doing ksiva, that's supposed to be replicating the Kabbalah Torah, which is again being Mala Bechinas Behem Lebechinas Adam. So he writes that Ksiva is an Asiya. Writing is an action. And Asiya applies to Bechinas Behemas also. Animals also do actions. They do many actions, but their Maisim are below Seichel. They don't have the brain that we have. But Maisa Adam Hu Im Seichel, Vika Seichel Hu Torah. We do actions with Seichel. We do actions with the Torah in mind. So it turns out, kishakosev sefer Torah hu malas asiya. By writing sefer Torah, it takes the asiya and takes it to a whole new level. The hainu ksiva shel seichel. Ksiva is a maisa that shows our seichel, takes our brain, our hearts, and puts it into paper. It formulates it. It creates something big. It transforms a behema into a sefer Torah, and that's the idea of ksiva. So mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha to as we're approaching Rosh Hashanah, the svarim are open, the different svarim, the Gemara tells Rosh Hashanah. Tells us that Shlosh Shesvarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah, the three books are open in front of us, the Beinonim, the Tzadikim, the Rishonim. It says Hashem that we should be zocheh, that we should be kosev in the Sefer Tzadikim, Gemurim, Nechtavim, Nechtam al Alter, L'chaim L'tovim, Shalom. Okay, Shkoyach.